Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Better Than Yesterday, the Wednesday edition. Better make it quick. As you know, recently I hit 400 episodes and it was about time for, like, you know what, that's a lot and it's overwhelming to go back and go, well, who's good, what's what? And even then it's like I don't have time to put a whole other hour and a bit of podcast into my week. So Bree Steele, my researcher and production assistant, and Andy Maher have got together and we've got the Wednesday greatest hit situation happening, and I'm pretty stoked about it. We started the show back in 2013, so there's a ton of episodes and there's so much that is relevant even today. It's really well worth going back to have a bit of a listen. So every Wednesday I'm going to release some of the best bits of some of our favorite conversations from some of our favorite people. This is a team effort, this Wednesday show. You may have missed them, you may have heard them before. It's nice to get a refresher. So we're going to kick off with the awe-inspiring Dr. Carl. He's one of my all-time heroes. I love science communicators, SciComm in the lingo. Science communication is so integral to democracy because people have got to understand just the broad concepts of very, very complicated things if they're going to vote properly when it comes to election time. Climate change is a perfect example. So SciComm is incredibly important, and Dr. Carl is the science guy in Australia. He's had a weekly science segment on Triple J radio since the 1980s. He broadcasts weekly across the ABC in Australia, across the BBC in the UK. His accolades are vast and varied. He's literally changing the world through his passion, his knowledge, and his curiosity. The word selfie came from a conversation with Dr. Carl. Okay? He's changing the world. Dr. Carl was my 18th guest on this show. I remember riding my bicycle to go to his incredible office at the University of Sydney. No, UNSW. God, I can't remember. It's a campus that I felt intimidated by. I'm always intimidated when I ride on university campuses. But I remember it being a particularly hot day. And this was about, it was November 2013. I was about 3 months away from my brain exploding with the climate changing things. And I kind of think back to this conversation as being one of those moments where it all, it was a seed that was planted during this conversation when, if you listen to the full version, Dr. Carl talks about Bangladesh. And it was in this conversation that seed got planted, I think, when the true realizations were starting to dawn on me. Because I remember it was a beautiful day and I rode my bicycle there and I wore a singlet and I was like, oh, Sydney's amazing. It's 30-something degrees in November, like a hot day that we'd normally expect in February and November. I didn't think anything of it at the time. I think differently now. Anyway, since we spoke on that day, Dr. Carl has written 8 more books. So he's now written 47 books in total. Yeah, it was the University of Sydney. Yeah, that's where I went. We could have had this conversation today. He's ahead of his time, as always. Dr. Carl spoke about the rise of misinformation, how mobile phones are changing how we interact with one another, and so much, so much more. I asked him how, hey, Dr. Carl, as someone with a scientific mind, deals with people, and this is 2013, and there was still a fair amount of it going on, but it does help to have this perspective. I asked Dr. Carl, how does he deal with someone who doesn't believe in climate change?
Try to understand where they're coming from. So far, there's some very robust research that shows that as a result of the one quarter of a century of concerted and unified and robust staying on message disinformation, as a result of that, and also the George C. Marshall Institute in Washington, D.C., and read the book by Naomi Oreskes called The Merchants of Doubt. So as a result of a quarter of a century of a very solid campaign, people who are right-wing will automatically doubt anything about climate change that says that the claims that climate change is real because it's going to be happening. So there you have a straight link between a voting policy and a belief, which to me is irrelevant because climate change is not about belief, it's about date. People say, oh, do you believe in climate change? No, I accept the science. In the same way, I accept the science that if you get some iron, well, it's pretty hard to work with, chuck a bit of carbon in there, turns into steel, it's really good. Nobody ever denies the science of metallurgy. So how do I feel about it? I'm vaguely confused. I'm trying to understand people's mindset as to why they would do this. So there are certain Australian broadcasters who deny the science of it, and I don't know what their frame of mind is. Is it that they genuinely believe that the scientists are all wrong, or do they say, look, the science is real, but I just want to be a shock jock and create lots of controversy and therefore get lots of audience, or do they simply not care? I have one colleague I worked with over the years who I put in that third category, and no matter what is the accepted science, this person, he or she, will go against it. And so recycling is bad. The Americans never did anything bad in Vietnam with Agent Orange. Mining companies are doing good stuff all the time. Fracking is good and has never caused any problems with water. No matter what there is accepted science on, this person will go against the accepted science simply to create a headline. So their whole goal in life is to create a headline, and any morality is irrelevant. I'm still trying to work out why. That's a very deep question you asked me. What do I feel? It's complicated.
Well, that's why I asked you.
Yeah.
Because it would confound. I get confounded. And I don't have any close to the amount of facts or data that you have on the thing. And it must just befuddle you. The only thing that I can come close to is when I meet people who are anti-vaccine. And both my parents are doctors, and we grew up learning all about vaccines, and this is very much in our conversation. When I meet people who refuse to vaccinate their kids, I'm like, why would you put everyone else in the community at risk?
And yourself. It's the cold equations. You've got a tiny, tiny, tiny chance of having a reaction and an overwhelmingly good chance that you'll be saved the bad effects. And I was actually there in the kids' hospital in 1990, when the first baby to die for 20 years from whooping cough died in Australia. And didn't have to die. It was only because a TV show on a network, so at that time it was Channel 9 and ACCA, Current Affair, decided that they would pay equal weight to each side of the vaccine discussion. There's no debate.
It's not a debate.
There's not a debate. The science is in. So it was curious. I was just thinking of the word debate. I read an article in The Australian by one of the senior editors of The Australian saying, look, every time we have an article debunking climate change, we also have an article in favour of it. Well, number one, firstly, the size of the articles and their locations are very different. Number two, really, one for one? So every time the Chinese launch a spacecraft, or anybody, so you remember a little while ago, there was the Chinese spacecraft launched towards the moon, going to get there on the middle of December. Did they, at the same time, in the interest of balance, run an article saying, look, actually, let me just set you straight on this, there is no space. Basically, God put an alabaster dome over the earth. It's ivory, actually, covered it with blue carpet. And when you look up at night, all you see are the fireflies that live in the carpet. Do they run that article every time there is an article on astronomy? No. Every time that they talk, they mention steel, do they say, oh, no, no, it's nothing to do with a couple of percent of carbon that turns iron into steel. It's actually the squashed up babies and the and the prayers that we make. We have to sacrifice the babies because otherwise we couldn't build skyscrapers. Do they run out of article? No. So why is it that only with climate change, out of all of the other ologies that exist on the Earth, I don't see them going against geology. I don't see them going against biology. It's just climate change. That and that alone is their only science with which they wish to create disinformation and, by the way, with which they have succeeded in creating disinformation.
And you know what? They're still succeeding today in 2021, spreading misinformation. But Dr. Carl did provide us with a solution. He spoke about, and quite well, pre-Donald Trump, he spoke about how we can spot fake news and how we can find information that is factual. And I began by asking him how he thinks the nature of curiosity is changing.
I haven't thought about that, but it's easy to satisfy, but only in a superficial way. It is satisfied in the sense that they will ask anybody for an answer, and whatever it is, that answer will be accepted, because they do not realize that in general the internet is as reliable as the drunk guy in the foyer of the shopping mall covered with sores and a homeless guy with dogs licking his wounds and a couple of empty bottles of liquid around him of alcohol trying to give you bits of paper. And if you get one bit of paper, you think, oh, that's all crap. But if you get it 20 times, you think, oh, well, it must be true because he's given me 20 bits of paper instead of one. So curiosity is – the nature of curiosity is changing in the sense of people trying to find the real answers.
People are satisfied
with the first thing they find on Google.
Yeah.
Yes, the reason the sky is blue is because God covered the sky, the alabaster sky, with blue carpet. And then he changes the dye covering from day and night. Angels go and do it.
How has it – I mean, I have the entire sum of human knowledge in my hand.
It is amazing that we can do that. Like, I've been here in this university from 1995. When I started, if I wanted a paper, a scientific paper, I would have to then go to the library, and luckily we're in the biggest library in the Southern Hemisphere. However, if it was not there, have to go and find a telex machine, put out a telex request, find the library in the world that had it, send them $50, somebody to go into the shelves, photocopy it usually badly, fax it usually badly, 3 days later I'd have it. Now I can have it on my smartphone. For money, of course, but I can have it within 90 seconds. I can have, well, actually, once I know what I want, I can have it, but to find it sometimes takes 15, 20 hours. So for me to write my stories normally takes 15 or 20 hours each story because I don't believe the first thing I find.
Yeah, right.
So, but the information is there, but people won't do it. And I think of the model of, but I have as my moral and inspirational model Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I'm going to give you a question without notice, right? You ready for it?
Sure.
Okay. How did Arnold Schwarzenegger get his muscles? Option one, lie on the lounge, watching TV, drinking beer, scratching his groin and hoping he got fit. Or number two, go to the gym. Pick one.
I would say number two.
He went to the gym, right. So how can you know anything without trying? Hey, it says the sky is made of blue carpet. Must be right.
Right. Because I did want to ask you, as people, I mean, surely people can realize that they're not getting the true answer sometimes. Like, how can I, someone who dropped out of university after 6 weeks of part-time study because it was too hard, mm-hmm. how can I in my day-to-day try and be a little smarter about how I read about things?
You can trust institutions or individuals. So in Google, there is a whole range of things that you can try, images and calendars and stuff. And then over on the right-hand side, it says more, and you click on more. And there's another whole range of Google products. And then at the right-hand side, it says more, and you click more. And down halfway in the big list, you find Google Scholar. That accesses the peer-reviewed literature. The trouble is it takes me an average of an hour to read a paper. To understand it and put it in context, it's hard. How can people be sure? Trust the people who I don't know. How can you trust people? I mean, if you trust the Australian, you'd be believing lies about climate change. If you trust the George C. Marshall Institute in Washington D.C., you'd be believing lies. That's a hard question. There's not an easy answer for that. Especially with journalists not being paid and journalism itself not being revered, and education no longer being respected.
I try as hard as I can to – I pay for my journalism online. I tend to not believe anything I read. on the free news website.
You have done well, Grasshopper. The first step has been taken.
Yeah, because I think it's really important. And certainly reading about, there's a book by a guy called Ryan Holiday called Trust Me, I'm Lying, Confessions of a Media Manipulator.
And wow, that sounds fantastic.
You'll love it.
Hang on.
If you've ever
read Ryan?
Ryan Holiday, as in, you know, you're about to take her.
One L?
Yes.
And Trust Me, I'm Lying.
Confessions of a Media Manipulator. If you've ever read a news article online about how disgusting the latest American Apparel campaign is, oh, it's nearly porn.
Mm-hmm.
I can promise you, he's like, I put it there. I put it on this lowly blog down here, signed in as four different user identities, commented in outrage, went to the next blog up the chain, commented to them going, look at this story, it's getting traction. This person sees that story, sees his four comments going, it must be true, reblogs it, goes up, 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 up. 72 hours later, he's on the front page of the Daily Mail.
Well, that's a fine non-peer-reviewed journal.
Well, but this is as you're saying, this is what people are seeing as news. And then here, the second part of the book, he goes into how Politico basically created a Republican candidate.
Who did?
Politico. It's a website. It's a news website, Politico. They created a Republican.
In the US? Right, but worldwide, of course.
They created a Republican candidate by simply putting a journalist to travel around with this one Republican guy. And because they were just creating so much content about him and these news blogs need to blog 40 times a day to keep their feeds up, they were like, well, we'll just reblog this thing because that's fresh. Everything else is 2 days old.
It doesn't matter what it is.
And because it was so much volume of clicks on this guy, the search results went up, and so he actually ended up on the ballot.
Who was that?
I can't remember his name for the life.
In state or federal?
In the US in the last election, yeah.
Federal?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And the whole book goes into like, beware of what you're seeing online and beware of these news blogs, because this is how easy it is to manipulate.
Ah.
It's fascinating, fascinating stuff.
People don't realize.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that was the precise pathway by which they went, but I knew there was some sort of whole bunch of people pushing their candidate forward.
Well, it's all got to do with volume and that these blogs have just a ravenous appetite to, and they'll repost anything. If it looks like it's vaguely worthwhile, they'll reblog it without even checking the facts.
Well, on my Twitter feed,
which is at Dr. Carl, D-O-C-T-O-R, K-A-R-O,
and 200,000 followers, I will look at anything 99.999% of the time before I retweet it. Is that maybe been 5 times out of many, many tweets that I haven't checked out because I trusted it? But normally I'll actually read it just in case they got the wrong emphasis.
And that is an issue that still continues today. But can you imagine if we didn't have people like Dr. Carl who fact check and encourage others to do the same? Look, we'll get back to more Dr. Carl in a second. We might need to play a bit of an ad here. If we do, thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If not, more Dr. Carl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Better Than Yesterday, the Better Make It Quick remix. We're revisiting my conversation with Dr. Carl Krzyżanowski from 2013. Dr. Carl, at one point we started talking about our phones and, you know, it's easier now than ever to find information and connect with other people. But also, he and I talked about how will our mobile phones affect us in the future?
The story is in this book, Game of Knowns, that you get a couple of people or psychology students who are close enough to human beings and you pair them off at random and you say, go into a room and talk and blow me down. There's a couple of chairs there. They sit down in the chairs, they face each other, and they're directed to talk about something important that happened to them in the last month. So that immediately gets you into the, oh, okay, something important and deep. Now, there's a table on the side. Sometimes there's a book. No worries, have a deep conversation. Sometimes there's a mobile phone. No deep conversation. Very shallow. They're out waiting for a better offer. They can't concentrate. And so talking about evolution and talking about the concentration thing, I see that via genetic engineering we'll change ourselves that we can, for example, live on the 70% of our Earth. Wrong name, Earth. Should be called water because it's 70% water. So we mutate, we genetically engineer ourselves that we have brains and bodies like dolphins with arms. So that way we can work stuff. And then we'll notice that in the last 11 years we have destroyed half of the coral cover on the planet. Great book by Callum Roberts, The Ocean of Life. Read it and weep. But we have to do something about it. Or we will genetically engineer ourselves to be fully wired up so the phone will be inside us. Or some of us will say, bugger this for a joke, I'm going to go and sow and reap and wear clothes that I've woven out of rough calico and live on a farm. And there'll be people living on Mars without wearing spacesuits. So they'll be genetically engineered. So the human race will splinter into many different sub-varieties, all gathered together by the one concept that we can still talk to each other, whatever mode of communication it is, and therefore we count as human. And this then has a background on it of the Flynn effect. You've heard of the Flynn effect? John Flynn, University of Otago. Okay, human intelligence is going up by 9 points every generation. So the good thing is that you are 9 points smarter than your parents. The bad side is your kids will be smarter than you by 9 points. But so it turns out intelligence is not just simply something that you generate, that you're born with, but it's something you're born with and it depends on how you act in your life. It depends on how you have been trained. For example, in Australia, by the age of 18, the children of wealthier parents have heard a million more words than the children of poor parents. And so this means that they get trained. And if you go back to the year 1900, only 3% of the jobs on the planet involved thinking. So our intelligence is rising. So we are changing our evolution as we go down different pathways.
When you talk about us all being connected.
Some will choose to be connected.
Well, the people that can afford to be connected.
The price will come down because it'll be good for business.
So let me put this to you.
Mm.
What if once we are all connected like this, we experience what the astronauts have called the overview effect and we suddenly realize, oh, we're all one.
Mm.
Oh, my God, I have to help my friend in Bangladesh not die in this flood. Let's fix this.
Luckily for this effect, or unluckily, 1% of the population are psychopaths, as it says in my book. Unluckily. So your psychopath is your person who does whatever they want, has absolutely no guilt, no remorse. And what happens to them in life depends upon the background of a couple of factors, their willpower, their intelligence, and their violence, their tendency to violence. So if they have no tendency to violence, they're not really smart, you've got a burglar. If they have a tendency to violence, but they're not really smart, small-time gangsters beat you up, steal your handbag, steal your wallet. Smarts and in tendency to intelligence, fire officer, state emergency services, mastermind criminal, SAS, cops, who know how to rein it in. I mean, you catch a thief to catch a thief, right?
Uh-huh.
And if they're not violent, but they are intelligent, and a psychopath, surgeons. Classic case of making those cold, brutal decisions and not feeling any remorse. So I had to do it. And I had a bit of that experience yesterday when I was doing a Skype with some school kids and also CEOs of big companies.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I had a, when I was doing a Skype with some school kids and I was telling them some of the stories of the hospital and moderated for the fact they were primary school kids. And they thought, oh, that's so sad. And I was saying, no, they didn't die. They'd be really sad. They lived, but they were seeing the sadness of the fact that they'd been to hospital and they'd suffered before coming out completely healed on the other side.
Right.
And so there's different ways of looking at the world.
It's funny, and when you just mentioned that, I see that a bit in my folks. They have that detachment a little.
You have to have it.
As doctors, they both have to have it. You have to have the detachment
because if you get emotionally involved, you won't be able to make the best decision.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. You've got to have, but then you switch off and you get emotionally involved, but then you don't make clinical decisions at that time.
It's absolutely fascinating stuff. Anytime you get a chance to speak with Dr. Carl, you say yes. It's amazing. It's an incredible experience. I did him once again. I went to his house one time, and you have never seen a man more excited to show you his solar system than Dr. Carl Krzyżanowski. Oh, my goodness. You can find out more about Dr. Carl. That book that we spoke about was a book called Game of Knowns, but like I said, he's put 8 more books out since then. So you can go back and check out Game of Knowns or all 46 of his other books. You can find him online. He's at Dr. Carl, D-O-C-T-O-R-K-A-R-L. He's even on TikTok. There you go. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you very much to Bree Steele for putting the show together, Andy Marr for cutting it up, Rachel Barrett, my executive producer, and you for listening. I'll see you on Friday. Till we speak then, sleep well and dream of beautiful things.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.